The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 361 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week we talk with Mike Norton, the creator of Battle Pug, which is getting its very own collected edition coming out from Image at the beginning of 2019. I talk with Mike about pugs in general and about the characters in the series, which started out as a webcomic, which is possibly turning into a regular series, and we'll talk more about that during the interview. He talks about how the series started and the various characters, as well as other things that we might find from him coming in the future. Then everything wraps up with my usual yearly holiday event. If you haven't heard before, be sure to stay tuned for that because it's a fun thing and you'll find out more about it after the interview. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast Mike Norton, the creator of Battle Pug, a very successful webcomic that is now coming out in hardcover from Image Comics starting in the end of January. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good. It's good to talk with you. I got a chance to read the what you call the Compugdium. I think that's what is just, I think that's a very creative name for a battle pug.
When we were doing it originally, the Image kept calling it the Pugpendium or something like that, and I would keep emailing them and saying no, it's Compugdium, and then they would write back and say, oh right, the pug, yeah, they would always get it wrong, and I think they were doing it on purpose just to bug me.
But. That's when you're creative with stuff like that. Not everybody quite gets it at the first try, so that's pretty good. So, well, why don't you just to start, tell us what Battle Pug is about.
Battle Pug is a story of a classic revenge story in the line of, like, you know, the first Conan movie where a warrior is out for revenge and he goes on this epic journey, and the difference is that he has a giant pug that he befriends and goes on this weird journey with him. It's essentially my way of combining everything that I liked when I was a kid, like, Star Wars and sword and sorcery and all this, you know, magical stuff, and putting it together and making it, you know, real silly with some, you know, the Jeffersons guest starring and stuff like that.
That's right.
All kinds of stuff.
The ghosts, aren't they? There's a period of
Georges and Wessa are the ghosts trying to move up to the east side by selling ferry rides.
Yeah, that was kind of cute. I really got a kick. This is why it's a good thing this is coming out from Image. You have somebody called the Dead Walker. Mm-hmm. And he resembles a certain person from Image Comics, it seemed to me.
That's right. He does.
So I got a huge kick when I saw that. There are a lot of things. I have to say that the main character, let's say, kind of resembles a barbarian that I've read before.
Yeah, I suppose.
So it's kind of, now I gotta ask, of course, why a pug? That's the important thing.
Well, the pug thing is twofold. One, I just like pugs. I think mm-hmm. they're really cute, and I have two of my own. Mm-hmm. The second and the most, like, the real reason he's in there is the idea of a warrior bent on revenge riding around on the most useless creature ever created on the planet just made me laugh. And, you know, if I'm going to sit there and draw 5 years worth of a comic book, I want to be happy while I'm doing it. So, yeah, that just immediately came to mind. And it kind of, you know, people immediately recognize it when they see it. They're like, oh, this is funny. I can tell this is going to be funny.
No, it's interesting because did you actually use your dogs as models to get a figure out how Battle Pug's going to look?
Sometimes, yeah. It's mostly based the look is mostly based on one of them because I have a blonde one that looks a lot like Sprinkles in the book, but I use him for different like poses and stuff, but and the dog is real dumb, like my dog. So, but other than that, he's pretty much made up. You know, it's just an excuse to do dog jokes. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to say that you're doing something that I find more and more in comics these days. There's no real origin for where it's Sprinkles. That's the name.
Sprinkles is the name we have so far. That's the one that Bryony, the little girl, gives him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start a comic book series after the Compugnium comes out, which will the Further Adventures.
Oh, really?
Just say that, you know, the Compugnium is the origin story,
mm-hmm.
and the comic book series will be like what happens afterwards. And Sprinkles' name becomes a big part of that series, as well as where Sprinkles came from. So I get around to it. I've been playing a long game with this for a long time, for 7 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about how you came up with the concept? I mean, obviously you like the pug dogs and stuff like that, but the series has a lot of fun elements to it, and it's really an enjoyable read. I mean, I think there was like 340 pages in this.
It's a lot. It's a lot of work. Honestly, the idea was just the first thing that came into my head when somebody said, come up with something. And I'd only worked on Marvel and DC stuff and was like, well, I can't draw you Superman. So I'm going to come up with this. And that was literally the first thing that came into my head was a barbarian riding a giant pug.
Mm-hmm.
And the artwork was getting around and people at conventions would ask me, well, when's this story coming out? And I'm like, I never actually thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come up with a story, and this is what happened. I started making it up as I was going along, and then it became this sort of like Bone by way of Cerebus kind of epic that I was just like, wow, I hope I can keep a hold of this. And so far so good. It's the proudest I've ever been and the most fun I've ever had drawing a comic. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that other people have seemed to enjoy it. So as long as I can keep doing it, I will.
Well, the word I kept using as I was reading it is fun. It's
mm-hmm.
adventure, you know. There's all kinds of derring do going on. There's hilarious characters. I mean, the old gentleman, you know, who refers to everybody, Skippity, I think, is that something like that?
Scribbly,
that's right. Scribbly and Scrabbly, he refers to people at.
And yeah, mine mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, he's kind of a funny character. And then, of course, he comes, something kind of reveals itself about him later on, which I really liked. That was kind of the fun thing. But then I've got to ask, because you're the writer and the artist on this. And, you know, I always have to ask, are you an artist who likes to write? Are you a writer that likes to do art? Are you writer slash artist? How does this work in your mind?
You know, that's a good question to ask these days because, you know, I work in a studio with Tim Seeley, who considers himself a writer who likes to draw, although I think he draws extremely well and could probably make a living just drawing comic books. But I am definitely a artist that writes sometimes. And Battle Pug was quite literally the first thing that I wrote for myself, you know, for money. It's like it's the thing that I said, oh, I'm gonna make a go of this, and it turned out pretty well. I have these ideas, and you know, I've seen a lot of movies, I've read a lot of comics, and I try to pace it as well as I can, and in this is what happens. But yeah, I'm definitely just an artist that likes to write every once in a while. I still work for other people a lot, you know, and I my other projects, I have writers that work with me. So yeah, this is just something I don't know if I'd want to do this all the time.
Interesting, because I was going to ask if you had done this before, because it hangs together really well. I mean, there's a lot of little surprises that pop up at appropriate places along the way. The dialogue is snappy and fun to read. You know, there's lots of allusions to other things in it, which I really thought were very creative. I really liked about it. So it's a fun read, and I was just kind of wondering, as how did the because some artists who like to write, they'll draw and they'll figure the story out as they draw along. Other people go with scripts. Which way did you do it? Did you draw it as you went along, or did you write a script?
It was sort of a hybrid. I spent a lot of time watching and learning from friends of mine. I knew what made a good story, and I knew what I wanted to do, but I also knew that I'm not the kind of person that sits in front of a keyboard and writes out a story. So what I did was I wrote out in a notebook, I have several notebooks full of stuff, ideas and scenes that I wanted to do. And I wrote out like a timeline. I wrote like how I wanted it to begin and how I wanted it to end. And I had to fill all the insides of it. And what I did was from there is that I did draw it as I went along, but it was drawing as I went along with a goal in mind, which is totally different than just making it up as you go along. It's like you know where you're going, you just don't know how you're getting there. And I knew that, you know, because it was online, I had to have a beginning, a middle, and end for every page. And I had to make the dialogue as snappy as I could. And I would leave little hints for stuff that I didn't always know what was going to happen. Like I didn't always know what the relationship between the warrior and Maul, who was telling the story in the tower, was. At the beginning, I definitely didn't know, and so that sort of developed over time, and it was very exciting. It makes it more fun to do, because when you have everything planned out, it's very mechanical and it's not as fun to do it because you've already thought about it in your head and you're just essentially doing everything twice, you know?
It's interesting because you remind me a little bit of Mark Waid, because when I interviewed Mark Waid a long time ago, he told me that he would often paint himself into a corner, and he didn't know how he was going to get everybody out of it.
I used to think that that was like the worst thing you could do, but now I'm starting to realize, and it comes from studying other stories, studying comic books, studying TV. I especially find this with like British television, or like especially like Doctor Who, where you watch it and you're like, they're constrained by budgets and what they can do, like with effects and how much time they have per season. So it forces them to make creative decisions. And so it's sort of, if you do paint yourself into a corner, you're just forcing yourself to come up with a creative solution for stuff. Now, sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out, but luckily I haven't had that problem so far. So mm-hmm. hopefully it doesn't, you know, bite me in the butt later on. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, another interesting thing to me, and you mentioned it in passing there, about the fact that this was a web comic. Mm-hmm. It started out on the internet. Mm-hmm. And evidently went to Dark Horse, and then now it's going to be through Image. Talk about that process, because, you know, I haven't had the chance to talk to webcomic folks very often. And not that you represent every webcomic person, but yeah. Talk about your experience. What was it like to do? You were talking about the fact that you had to be real careful to make it snappy dialogue, that things sure. happen and stuff. Talk about doing a webcomic as opposed to a comic, because you have experience in both sides. So sure. You're a good one to at least ask your opinion about that.
Sure. I mean, I did a webcomic primarily because I don't have the patience to pitch my idea to a comic company that I know and then wait the 3 months to, you know, have it solicited. And then 3 months after that it actually comes out and, you know, half a year goes by and then I find out if anybody liked it or if I make any money. So it was much more of a impatience thing that I decided to put it up online really quick to see if anybody liked it. But I also studied other comics online, and I realized that if you put out a comic book, especially the way I did it, which was once a week, that you have to give them a reason to come back. And so I decided, you know, every page had to have like a whole little story that happened on that page, and it had to end on sort of a cliffhanger so that they would come back and read it again. And it forces you to be very concise and very tight with your writing. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot that way. I studied a lot of comics like, you know, Scott Kurtz's PvP and, you know, a lot of like Dylan McConus's stuff. I forget what the comic was. There's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, a lot of people don't even know, you know, as far as web comics go, and it's so good, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of people in my world of like regular comics, mm-hmm. like print comics, it's like a thing they don't even know about. And I've told this to people before, you know, I made a living off of drawing Revival at Image for 5 years, mm-hmm. and the audience for that book wasn't anywhere near the viewership that I had on Battle Pug, but mm-hmm. because Battle Pug was free, mm-hmm. I wasn't making any money off of it. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting how that works. And I did it essentially just because I wanted people to see it. And Dark Horse wanted to publish it in yearly volumes, and I was like, that's great. And they did, and it worked out for a while, and some of the books went out of print and stuff like that. So I decided I'm just going to put it all out, and I'm going to control everything this time, because usually they do all the marketing and stuff over there, and so mm-hmm. They're also very cool with creators. So they, when I said, hey, I'm going to do this at Image now, they're like, that's fine. So going to put this big collection out of Image, and now I'm in charge of everything, and we'll see how it goes.
Now, you were talking about having a follow-up series and stuff. Is that likely to be an Image, Dark Horse? How are you going to do with that?
An Image book as well. Yeah. Okay. It'll be a comic book series. I have 2 issues done, and they usually like to schedule stuff when there's 3 issues, but I've been busy with other things like my series Grumble with Albatross Funny Books. So I need to get that done, and then it'll be out. But it won't be very long after the Compogium comes out. And so while that's been selling for a while, we'll get back to what's been happening to all the characters in the last couple of years.
Well, that's great fun. As I look it over and stuff, the only regret I have about the book is that it's not coming out during the holiday season.
Yeah, you know, me too.
For a couple of reasons, and one of the reasons is this would make a wonderful gift.
Yeah, I could sell a lot of those books during Christmas.
And not only that, they go to the Northland Elves town when there's been this. And I sat there.
Feel Santa Claus in this comic. I have a long history with Santa Claus where I'm not a big fan of him. So I finally released all my aggression upon Santa in this book, and it's very personal. Everything, it's weird. Everything in this book that seems like a silly joke usually has a deep-rooted meaning that I don't always go into. But yeah, the King of the Northland Elves definitely has a reason to be there. Maul's being naked definitely has a actual, you know, reason that you find out later on in the book. Everything down to the only thing that even the names come from somewhere. Everybody's name comes from someplace. I didn't just make them up out of thin air. So.
See, next, when you do like an updated version of it, you should explain all that. We could have like.
Yeah, I thought about putting. There's a ton of back matter in the new Compendium, but I didn't go into like. You know, how I named everybody after, like, exits on the Chicago to Illinois highway and stuff like that. Colfax and Mingo, the two dogs, are named after two towns on the way to Iowa from Chicago. So,
see, I also thought the chapters were named, you know, very creatively. The first one's Blood and Drool, which I thought was a wonderful name, and the other ones follow.
Yeah, they were all supposed to sound like old, you know, Conan comics, you know. This Savage Bone being my favorite one. That sounds like an old Conan comic book. Something that, like, Roy Thomas would have written.
And I also enjoyed the fact that, you know, you talked about the two dogs. They are, like, talk to each other in here, which is, you know, Battlepug never says anything, at least not that I...
Battlepug never talks, and if you notice... when the dogs are around anybody that's not Maul, they don't understand what they're saying. So Maul understands them.
Ah, really good stuff.
Later on at the end of the book, like, everybody thinks that they're just barking. So
Right. And of course, Battlepug has a burp, burp, burp kind of sound.
Yeah. That's what pugs sound like. They just, when they bark, they just sound like they're coughing really loud. So, yeah, I gave them the brap sound effect.
I also got a kick, too, that the big monster at the beginning that destroys the village is like a seal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a baby harp seal.
Yeah, I was looking at it going, like, how – and it's got a smile on its face all the
He's
time.
He's so happy to kill all of them. It's not his fault. He was under the control of another beast mage. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the idea of, you know – cute animals being incredibly destructive is something that never ceases to make me chuckle. So yeah, I put that there a lot.
I also got to kick the lead character is always complaining about the fact he runs into large animals.
Yeah, he hates giant cute animals. He thinks it's ridiculous. Well, I mean, for one thing, they killed his parents.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just thinks that it's his life is filled with these ridiculous animals. Mm-hmm. And so it just is a constant source of annoyance for him.
And I have to say the art is particularly strong. I really like the way that you've done them. You know, the characters look very good. It's really, you know, top-level comic artwork kind of stuff, which I really loved. You know, sometimes when I see some of these kinds of things and I look at them and I go, okay, the art was not the strongest point, but I love the art in this book particularly. There's a lot of them that I really enjoyed the stuff. I mean, they could be posters as far as I'm concerned. Cause they're really
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you so much. I try. I really it's never hard to draw a battle pug. It's always as fun and it's my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I love it when it actually connects with people, so thank you very much.
No, I also enjoyed, and I don't think it spoils too much because of the very beginning of stuff when the main character discovers Battlepug or Sprinkles, you lead us to believe that the dog is responsible for all the mayhem. And I won't spoil what happens, but let's just say that there's a surprise along the way for that.
Yeah. He wants to blame the dog for everything. So it's easy to make him a red herring. So
I got a huge kick too. He didn't want to ride him at first.
No, he wants nothing to do with that dog. That's very much part of the whole series is him coming to become friends with this animal and you know, eventually, because the dog immediately loves him, because most dogs do.
Right.
And he has to learn to love this dog. So
just fun stuff. It's just, the artwork is spectacular. The storytelling is great. Dialogue is fun too, which I, you know, like I was saying, I've got to talk a little bit about the mage girl who is profane all the time.
Bryony is based on my wife.
Oh.
A little redhead person that likes to curse all the time. And I decided, well, I'm going to make her the most powerful mage in my comic book, but she's going to be like a 10-year-old girl. And because every time I would go home for Christmas, her parents would show me like this little cute picture of her when she was a child. It's like, I have a hard time believing that she was ever a child. So, Bryony is very much based on that. And so everything comes out of her mouth as a curse, but we bleep it out. So
see, that was another interesting thing that got me. You redacted.
Yeah.
These things, instead of putting, you know, the dollar signs and percentage signs and stuff, you redacted them, which of course right now is a perfect time for this to come out with all the redactions.
right, yeah.
I was reading it and I was smiling. I said, man, this book, it's got all kinds of wonderful, timely things happening in it.
Yeah, it lets you think about like what she actually is like. Early on, my friend Crank, who letters the book, he didn't get the right mix of black in there when we were printing it, so you could actually see underneath what she actually was saying.
Oh.
So we fixed that pretty early on. But I guess it is kind of timely with everything that's going on. It's funny because the new book has some political jokes, but I wrote and drew the book 2 years ago, so it's already out of date. We'll see if anybody appreciates my Covfefe jokes.
Well, you were ahead of time. That's what you.
Yeah, right.
You're way ahead of stuff. Like I do have to ask you too about the layout of the drawing of it. You know, most comics are taller than they are wide.
Right.
But this, because it fits the layout of the hardcover real well. It's wider than it is tall. That's because of the webcomic format.
Yeah, I designed it to fit exactly in the screen that you would be looking at it online. So I wanted it to fill your window. And I drew it at 9x12 because that was proportionate. And also I wanted it when it was printed to be in an oversized sort of look, the way that I've seen like European comics or albums done. And it's not exactly those size. They're taller than they are wide. But I wanted it to look more like that than an American comic because it's very much sort of inspired by that European look. And I thought that would be kind of cool. I have gotten some criticism from people and sometimes from retailers that it's hard to shelve because it is wider than it is tall. But, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
The new series will be comic book format, and they won't be able to complain about that.
Because, you know, Mouse Guard has that same format, and
it
struggles with the same kind of thing. It's not in a large edition like this is. But, you know, when I get Mouse Guard, and of course I always buy Mouse Guard, I always have to get it in a bag, and it's always in the bottom of the bag. It's not, you know, it's not anywhere like a regular comic fits into a comic bag.
Yeah, that's the problem with these things. In I never faulted because I'm usually more in love with the way that the book looks than I am how I'm going to store it. But there are a couple of that are like that. I've seen a couple of other comics that started as web comics, and they're the exact same proportions. They're just smaller, so they fit on a shelf better, but they're still wider than they are tall. And mine is the same proportions as like a Centitulo that Cameron Stewart did at Dark Horse. It's just that his book was smaller. So I just wanted mine to be obnoxiously big.
Well, you know what? I don't mind reading things in different formats. I don't want it always to look like a comic. Mm-hmm. You know, yours is a lot more fun because it has, honestly, it feels more active to me because of the way you've got more going on left to right than many comics do. You got to go top, middle, bottom. This way it goes left to right, and I really like that. It feels more, a little busier, a little more active to me.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a conscious decision. It was something that, when I decided to do it, I was like, I need to take advantage of the way this is. And so I was constantly thinking about it. Whereas when I'm working in comic book format, I've been doing that for 20 years. So it's like, it's almost like I don't even think about it when I'm doing it. I have like a method and, you know, I do the left to right in a Z formation sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But on this, I was forced to think creatively with how I was going to move you through this book.
Mm, that was fun. I sat and read it, and once I started, I couldn't put it down. I just kept going and going. And
finally, that's awesome. That's great to hear.
I got to the very end, and all of a sudden I realized there was a lot of pages towards the end with art and stuff like that. And I was literally disappointed there wasn't more story coming.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're getting on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
There's a lot of secrets and stuff that I didn't get to in the first stories that the new book is going to be about. And it's kind of interesting that I spent 5 years on this book and there were actually things that I didn't explain. But yeah, it's this whole new series is going to be tying up those loose ends. And then I have a big plan to make it be a total game changer as far as this book goes. So hopefully that works, but I'm not gonna reveal all that yet.
See, this also screams animated TV show to me.
We did talk to when we were at Dark Horse. We were actually honestly talking to Disney about some stuff. It never went anywhere, but if there are any animation companies, I'm willing to talk. I would love to make this a cartoon.
It would be a lot of fun. It would be the kind of thing I would make sure I was recording so I could keep them. They'd be fun. It would be great fun to read. But like I said, when you get to that, don't be disappointed because I was like, oh rats, more story. Where's the rest of the story?
But no, that's my favorite kind of book. You know, I feel that way when I'm reading something like Paper Girls or Saga. You know, I get to the end and I was like, man, I wish there was more to this. You know,
I like the way at the very end it says something. I don't think it's spoiling anything to say it's not the end.
No, it's not the end. It's just an epilogue.
I also liked all the different artwork that you included in there. It was really good. Different people, all different kinds of styles, black and white, some a little more cartoony than others. I love, there's one that particularly made me laugh when I looked at it. There's one that has Battle Pug and the main character's heads transposed.
Oh, that's my studio mate, Ryan Brown. he draws a comic called God Hates Astronauts, which is way more absurd than Battle Pug ever was. So he and I share a very similar mind as far as what makes us laugh, and he goes to the extreme. And yeah, he just draws whatever he feels like it, and that's what came out.
Well, it's really good. It really comes together. I love the way that you showed some of the sketches and all those kinds of things, because I think we don't get enough of that. I don't think people understand how comics are put together as well. And this one really does a wonderful job of filling in some of those gaps behind the scenes things. So I really like that.
Well, thanks. I wanted to give people a reason to, especially if they had bought the books from Dark Horse, a reason for them to buy this again. And so I put literally everything that I had, including like sketches for the beer bottle that we made a beer from for this book and all this other stuff. I wanted to put everything in there, and yeah, luckily I have a lot of talented friends and they all drew sketches for me. So I put those all in there too. So
great fun. It's fun to look at other people's interpretations of the characters.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you just say, a lot of them, I bet a lot of them never even read the book, but I just told them, you know, hey, I have this comic about a guy riding a pug. And that's what they sent me back.
Yeah. It's very cute stuff, very fun stuff. So, all right, when I look at Amazon.com, if I look up Battle Pug, it brings that up first thing. And it's hardcover, and it has a release date of January 29th.
Okay, that's what I've been told, too. So
get a look and see what day that is. That's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, so it'll probably be in comic book stores either the week before on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Or that week, so yeah.
Well, I highly recommend it. Now, unfortunately, Amazon can never tell you what the cover price is. They've got their own prices. They're selling the hardcover for $33.40. I just don't think that's a price that's you're going to see on the book. I couldn't see it on a version I got to read.
The cost is going to be, I think, $34.99. So it's okay. $35 book.
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth the money. I also love a good hardcover that I can dive into and get lost in for a nice amount of time. And that's what this book is. I was totally lost in the story.
I love hearing that. Thank you.
I just enjoyed it so much. There are times when I had to laugh out loud, and there were times when I just sort of snickered, and other times I thought, gosh, this is really serious action things going on here all of a sudden.
Good. It worked. That's exactly what I wanted.
I like that. I love a book I can't tell what they're going to do next.
Good. I hope I can keep that up. Thank you so much.
Well, I imagine. So now, okay, so January 29, we're going to get the Compugdium is going to be out around that time in the bookstores. When are you going to start having the new series from Image? Because I'm going to have to keep my eye out for that.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a couple months after that. So I'm hoping they announce something in January or February, maybe a book coming out in March or April. But that's still all up in the air. But, yeah, it'll definitely be springtime.
Okay, so something to keep an eye on. You won't have Santa Claus in that one, I guess.
No, Santa Claus is long gone, but but
not the Easter
Bunny. His shadow still looms large. there's definitely I'll give you this. This is an exclusive. The name of the first arc is called War on Christmas.
Oh, no.
So it's definitely related to the King of the Northland Elves.
You're going to have to collect this and put it out right in the holiday season next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to, because it's just going to work so well. And then you'll have to pull that section out and put it with it.
Yeah,
the
right.
From this
yeah.
book. It was really, really fun. I had to laugh, especially, you know, this is going to post during the holiday season. It just made me smile when I read it. And I just, if people want to, well, let's ask that. If people want to go ahead and get a taste of it and want to go and see it online as a webcomic, where do they go?
You go to battlepug.com. It's as simple as that. You can read it and I think there's even a way you can email me there. I'm not sure, but I haven't looked at my website in a while.
Okay.
But yeah, everything's up there, and you can. I mean, I'm on Twitter and Facebook too. You just look up Mike Norton, and yeah, let me know if you like it.
Well, I certainly did. I have to say it was great fun, and I'm going to be sure to follow up with it when the new stuff comes out. Going to make sure I let my store know that I really want this one because it's really great fun.
I really appreciate this.
So now let's you, as it says in your description, you draw comics for an artist for many comics. Other projects that you're working on, or does this can't keep you busy all the time? You were saying that.
It should keep me more busy, but I'm always sidetracked with other things. I'm doing a series right now for Albatross Funny Books, which is Eric Powell, my friend who does The Goon, and he is bringing back The Goon next year, and I'm doing a series also pug related. It has a pug in it. It's called Grumble,
and
about a con artist magician who accidentally turns himself into a pug and can't get unstuck. So he's running across the country with his daughter trying to figure out a way to, you know, con his way into becoming human again. And I also just finished a Hellboy series, which is coming out through Dark Horse as we speak. The first issue came out last month. So
Wow. Well, the good news is you're keeping busy with good things. And
yeah, that's I always keep busy. I can't not draw constantly. It's just like a sickness I have.
And it sounds like you're having fun with it, because we can tell. Like when I read Battle Pug, I had such a good time with that. So you just keep up the wonderful stuff with that. So that's the thing that's good doing. Is there other things that we should know about?
That's it right now. I am working on a ton of other things, but the immediately recognizable things.
Okay, we can't release the information too soon.
Yeah.
So you got to do that. So that's good. Well, I loved Battle Pug to Compug DM, and I hope it's a huge success. I hope a lot of stores stock it, because it's one of those things. I think if you love dogs, you're probably going to love this. If you love fantasy and you love the Conan the Barbarian type stuff, you're going to love this too. The characters are fun. The dialogue's great reading. The art is really well done, and I just can't wait to see more of this. I'm already ready for the new stuff to come out after I've read this one. So if you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend get into it, because it's a terrific series, and I think you're going to love it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, keep up the good work, Mike. We'll have to talk again sometime in the future. Maybe when the regular books start coming out, we'll talk again.
Yeah, absolutely.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And now it's time for my yearly holiday tradition, the playing of 'Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas. This video is actually available on YouTube. If you go to that site and look up 'Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas, you'll find it there. It's from the folks who do I'm a Marvel and I'm a DC kind of videos, and there are plenty of them. I think this is one of their first ones. What you really need to know is that there are three voices. The first one is Alfred, second one, of course, is Batman, and the third one is Santa Claus. And it has an interesting holiday message that I like to communicate. So without any further ado, 'Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through Wayne Manor, not a sound could be heard, especially not laughter. There were no stockings hung and no tree filled with lights, not a single Christmas decoration in sight. Master Bruce in his costume, and I in my robe, were up late on the lookout for evils unknown. I missed Christmas, but he said he didn't have time. None at all ever since the tender age of 9. It saddened me watching him year after year, never taking in joy, only dealing out fear.
I say, sir,
I pleaded with all of my might.
Master Grayson is having a party tonight. Master Drake and Ms. Gordon are sure to be there. Why not leave this bleak cave and enjoy some fresh air?
I've outgrown Christmas, Alfred,
he answered each year.
You can go if you want to, but I'm needed here.
I sighed and walked upstairs to turn off the lights.
Merry Christmas,
I said. His reply was,
good night.
I walked up to my bedroom, got under my sheets, and prepared to drift off into sweet, peaceful sleep.
Suddenly, a noise woke me up with such a clatter, I ran to my window for more on the matter. And what should my wandering eyes happen to find but a man in a sleigh with 8 reindeer... No, 9! I was off to tell Master Bruce what I had spied. The fat man in the sleigh was in for a surprise. But it was my surprise. He had beaten me there. Just how fast was this man who could sled through the air?
Who are you?
Master Bruce yelled, demanding to know. The fat man's belly shook as he laughed.
Ho, ho, ho! Don't you know?
He asked, giving his heels a click.
Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Kris Kringle, Saint Nick!
The Batman moved slowly, not wanting to harm him.
Right, Santa. Let me take you back home to Arkham.
But the man disappeared. He was gone in a flash, leaving only some traces of old soot and ash. Suddenly, he was back just as soon as he'd left. This man was indeed quite fast in spite of his heft.
I've come here in peace,
said the man.
Have no fear,
Batman said.
Then explain to me why you've come here.
The jolly man laughed.
Christmas time is at hand. I bring gifts of joy to everyone in the land. The good people come to me with their requests for their heart's desire, and I do my best.
I need and want nothing from you,
Batman said.
Go and take to the streets of Gotham with your sled.
The man in red snickered and gave him a wink.
The person I'm here for is not who you think. I've no gift for you, though you've done much good, it's true. But the present I'm bringing tonight, well, is you. For when it comes to Christmas, you just disappear, and you leave behind all of the friends you hold dear.
Bruce said,
Hold on a minute now. That isn't true. I give plenty of presents at Christmas. I do. Gifts of cash, food, drink, clothes, anything I can find. So then how can you say that I leave them behind?
Giving gifts is something for which you've had a knack. But the spirit of Christmas is still what you lack. Your gifts are all sent, none given face to face, and you've never even accepted an embrace. If you're given a gift, you just turn it away, denying your friends what their hearts want to say.
I know all of their feelings, and they all know mine. Gifts are simply a symbol for which I've no time.
Well, Christmas is a time for which I've always felt allowing others in. Let your defenses melt.
My defenses are fine.
Batman furrowed his brow.
It's just a sign of weakness to let them go down.
Santa sighed.
I have never, as long as I've lived, had to teach 'tis better to receive than to give. I came here to open up your heart and your mind. You're determined to keep them both closed up, I find. You're just too filled with anger and pain and regret. Probably about both of your parents, I bet. You'd tell them you loved them if you could somehow, just like all of your friends want to tell you right now. Oh, the gift of allowing love to be expressed is one of the greatest gifts that one can get. For the past is behind us, the future unknown, and the moment is all that we have to call home. And so, now I leave you with this to think on.
And with that, this St. Nicholas fellow was gone. The master was silent. He was lost in thought. I wondered if this was what that fat man sought.
Alfred,
he said sharply, giving me a fright.
You mentioned something about a party tonight.
Soon we were dressed and ready and out on our way. Surely this was a miracle, one had to say. He had come bearing gifts and was going inside when he stopped to look up because he had spied that Santa Claus fellow, I exclaimed in the dark. Master Bruce simply smiled, looked up, and said,
Thanks, Clark.
And I heard Batman say as he walked out of sight,
Merry Christmas to all. Well, at least for tonight.
May you enjoy whatever holidays you celebrate this year. So happy holidays. I'll be back next week with more interviews. But until then, keep reading your comics.
Now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.